Joshua chapter 17, I think you see here yet again how the inheritance which God intended for the various groups of Israelites was to some degree negotiable, because God is not as the God of Islam, where it's all about submission. This is what I say, this is what you shall do. If you don't do it, then no deal. God thirsts for relationship with people, and so he is in that sense flexible. And these boundaries are to some degree flexible. You see this in verse 9. There were some cities that belonged to Ephraim among the cities of Manasseh. Well, this was not God's intention. The idea was that each tribe had their own territory, and that's where they were to live. And each family even had their own territory, their own little bit of inheritance, which is why there's all the legislation about not marrying people from other tribes, about ensuring that the inheritance continues in the family. This is why Naboth wouldn't sell his vineyard to King Ahab, and so on. See it again, verse 11. Within the territories of Issachar and Asher, Manasseh had some towns. And yet, verse 12, the children of Manasseh couldn't drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites continued to dwell in that land. Well, you can see here this flexibility. You see, God doesn't say, look, I've given you victory over all these people. Joshua won all the victories. You just get on and possess it. We don't want this one. They were picky and choosy. No. Oh, can I have this one? Yeah, you can have that one. No, that's too hard for me, that what you've given me there. I don't want that. I mean, it's a spoiled kid syndrome, is it not? And we can be the same. You know, God gives us callings, and we so often flunk it. Oh, no, I don't want to go on that preaching campaign, or I don't want to get involved with working in that soup kitchen or whatever it might be. Even though you're clearly set up and led to do something like that, I'll go on that Bible study thing that's being held on the beach, you know, on some tropical resort or something. These are silly examples, but I'm just saying that if you do that sort of thing, God doesn't turn away from you and say, okay, fine, you didn't want what I set up for you. You see, he thirsts for relationship. And this, I suppose, is the feature of all his dealings with us in reality, that we do flunk his ideals, and yet he still works with us. Now, if that's how he treats you and me, and it's how clearly he treated Israel, in order to keep relationship, well, you're going to have flexible boundaries, as it were, with people who you might disagree with, who might actually be in the wrong on this or the matter, this matter or that matter or whatever. They may choose a lower level. Okay, would you want relationship with them? Because they're your brethren, and you must have relationship with them in the sense that you must accept them as your brethren and not chuck them out or stomp off away from them. Yeah, this is how God has worked all the time. And then the Ephraim and Manasseh, the children of Joseph, verse 14, they complained to Joshua, you've given me just one lot, and I'm a great people because I'm so blessed by God. Well, that is a bit of a twist, really. God gave them the ideal inheritance designed for each of them, just as we have a tailor-made inheritance in God's kingdom. And they're sort of rather twisting, I think, the words of Moses and of Jacob about the blessing that was to come upon them. And they're saying, oh, we're blessed. We need some more land. And Joshua said to them, verse 15, if you are a great people, go up to the forest and clear land for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the Rephaim. That's the giants, if you're saying that your inheritance is too small for you. It's almost sarcastic, if you are a great people. If you're really so great, well, then why don't you drive the giants out? And this, as I say, is typical, I think. People complaining. And they say, verse 16, well, no, the Canaanites who live in the land of the valley have got chariots of iron. both those who are in Beth Shean and its towns, and those who are in the valley of Jezreel. And, you know, they're very aware of all the problems, a very problem-oriented approach. We can't, we can't, we can't. And, well, Joseph says to them, verse 17, well, you're a great people, you have great power. I think the idea is you have huge potential. You can inherit the kingdom. You get on with what God has given you to inherit. Even if you don't want to fight those people who've got chariots of iron, well, okay, so then go to the forest area where they don't live and cut down the forest, and it can be yours. And then he says, and you shall drive out the Canaanites, even though they have chariots of iron, and though they are strong. Well, they didn't actually do that. But you shall drive them out is therefore not prediction, just as I don't think the descriptions of Ezekiel's temple are a prediction, this shall happen. Well, yeah, if you are obedient, if you have faith, there are still conditions attached. And so I think, therefore, that this does all speak to us about our attitude to inheriting the kingdom. This or that obstacle is too much for me. But God knows our limits. Of course, we think our limits are pretty low, and yet he's told us he will not give us a temptation that is too great, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. He will not put us in a position where we are inevitably sinners, where we are just going to be swamped and forced into sin, or where really the path to the kingdom that he chose for us is simply too hard. He knows our limits. You see that when Israel came out of Egypt, God led them a different way than was the logical way to lead them, lest they see war and return to Egypt. He knew that that would be too much for them, but actually they did want to return to Egypt anyway. But that was their fault. They needn't have thought that. God knew that if they saw war, they would return. It would be too much of a temptation. So, okay, he led them another way. And yet they still want to return to Egypt, but that was completely their fault. They were totally culpable for that. They did not need to have that attitude. And so it is here with Ephraim and Manasseh, saying that, look, you've given us a far too difficult task to inherit the kingdom. These guys have got chariots of iron, you know, as if, well, you don't realize. Yes, God says through Joshua, I do realize. I know how strong they are. Yes, I do know that. But you can win. And, okay, they flunked out of it, but they were still allowed inheritance in the kingdom. So you see here how God is willing to operate on a lower level with people, even though, by rights, they shouldn't be on that lower level, because he thirsts for relationship. And so this is how he is with us. And if he's like it with us, we better be like it to other people, to reflect that same grace to other people. This is a far cry from the simplistic idea that, well, yes, we live a good life, and sure, we mess up sometimes, and we ask God to forgive us, and then we pick ourselves up and go on. No, life's not so easy. That is just a far too simplistic picture. That is not how it is at all. God has got great plans for us, which are very detailed, and which we often flunk out of. And we don't live up to our potentials, and yet he is still eager to work with us and accept us even on that lower level. But that is by grace, and we cannot presume upon that. And this is how, ultimately, we shall all end up inheriting our part in God's kingdom.